I don't believe that we should ever have a good manner again before we take the thing out of the hands of government.
Yo, today is November 2nd, 2022. Welcome to Simply Bitcoin Live. We are your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution with other breaking news, culture, and memetic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. Today, we're going to talk about Edward Snowden celebrating the Bitcoin birthday. And of course, Craig Wright responding. And they got into a little bit of a scuffle. I thought that was interesting. Also, Russia continuing to signaling that they're legalizing Bitcoin mining. And of course, they are also making it legal officially to use Bitcoin crypto in general to facilitate international payments. Why are they doing that? Because of current U.S. sanction policy. So things are heating up in the separation of money and state. And also, like the Beef Initiative, right? This revolution is all about personal responsibility. It's about individuals taking back their personal sovereignty. We covered the Beef Initiative. The Beef Initiative was about food. And today we have Andy, and he is part of a company called... Here we go. It is part of Join Crowd Health. It's also about taking your health back into your own sovereignty or something like that. And we're going to talk about that today. Andy, welcome to the show.
Man, thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Big fans.
Happy to have you, man. And of course, my legendary co-host, always optimistic, my living truth. How you doing, Opti?
I am doing wonderful this morning, Nico. I'm excited for today's show. As you know, I love the meme of making sure we have a fit body, fit mind, and fit soul so that we can get our meat sacks over the finish line with these sats. Because, I mean, what is the use of having sats if you aren't healthy in the future? So I'm excited for this conversation today.
Amen to that. All right, guys, let's start the show. Let's do this.
The Bitcoin Numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit Noddle.eu today. All right, guys, at the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is 20,395 sats per dollar, 4,903 block height, 761,428 reachable Bitcoin nodes, 15,903 blocks to the halvening. We are at blocks to the halvening, 78,572, halving estimate April 21st, 2024. Total Lightning Network capacity, 5,131 Bitcoin capacity value. I love it. We were so long at $98 or $99 million. I'm glad that it's staying the Lightning Network capacity. It's finally staying above 100 million. Hopefully it gets to half a billion. Hopefully eventually it gets to a billion. But not so fast because still things are breaking in Lightning, which is interesting. Shout out to Barack. Okay, realized monetary inflation, 1.77%. Bitcoin continues to take fiat currencies to absolute school. Even in the U.S. dollars, ideal situation of, you know, the famous touted 2% inflation, which I don't know we're going to get back to that anytime soon. Bitcoin's still slaying. And that number is going to continue to go down as more as, remember, there's a cap supply is 21 million divided by infinity. And there's a halving, meaning the supply pressure on the market gets cut in half roughly every 4 years. And market capitalization, we're at $391 billion with a B. Bitcoin is still a baby. Anyways, I have a video for us to react. This is Sam Bankman. He is the CEO of FTX Exchange, and he was having a conversation with Eric Voorhees. Eric Voorhees is one of the Bitcoin OGs. He went on to found this company called Shapeshift. They're very famous back in the day because they didn't require you to make an account to exchange, let's say you wanted to exchange Bitcoin to Ethereum, they were forced inevitably to add KYC eventually, and they also added a lot of shitcoin support. So he kind of went down that rabbit hole, kind of sucks, right? But it's very interesting, this conversation. I want you guys to pay attention because at the end of the day, FTX is one of the most powerful exchanges right now. And the fact that the CEO is having these types of conversations or has these views on privacy, on KYC and AML, it's definitely not a good thing. And remember, there was actually rumors that FTX was going to buy Coinbase, right? They were, they, I think they bailed out BlockFi, if I'm not mistaken, or I think it was one of those companies, right? It's a very, very powerful exchange. And it's extremely troubling that this is what the CEO, this is the CEO's perspective. Anyways, I'm going to shut up and play the video and we'll talk about it.
It did mean that, like, essentially a suit front-ends by Americans targeting American retail had to be licensed. I think that could be reasonable.
Which Sam, is if, that- we, if the question was, let's acknowledge that the email protocol will be permissionless as a protocol.
Yep.
But it was the law of the land in America that every email front-end provider required KYC from its users.
Yep.
Because under the justification that we do not want people sending information back and forth with terrorists.
Yep.
Where would you stand on that position?
Oh, I'd be strongly against that position. Why would I be against it? Because I think that it'd be like against freedom of speech. I think it'd be disenfranchising a lot of people. I think I would not trust in practice that it would do a good job. So I agree with you on all of that. Okay. I'm making a distinction here between, for instance, payments versus like derivatives contracts.
Why is Aave somehow different than email?
So, why is it different than email?
You argued so well and so passionately to not block email with licensing and KYC. I loved hearing that.
Yep.
That filled my soul with joy. Such good arguments. Why does that not apply to financial transactions?
So, why does it not apply to financial transactions? I think there are a few things.
Oh, no, can't play that music, but had no answer. Right. And there is no answer. And remember what payments are, what money is essentially. Money is a form of speech, right? That's the reality, right? And the justification is if we don't KYC, if we don't AML, financial terrorism, crime, all this stuff. Remember, those are the same justifications that the Department of Homeland Security used to break the First Amendment to justify the censoring of certain types of speech on Twitter. Right. It's the same thing. Right. Money is a form of speech. And this kind of goes back to the idea that I've been telling you guys over the last month or so, over the last couple of weeks. What world do you want to live in? Do you want to live in a world with an open monetary network where individuals are allowed to transact freely, which is what Bitcoin enables them to do? Or do you want to live in a world where a bureaucratic elite get to dictate who is entitled to use money, who is not entitled to use money, and who is entitled to what type of information, and who is entitled to other type of information? Because that's the decision here, right? You can't have one and not the other, right? And the world that they want us to live in, right, and tie this in with the censoring, the debanking of certain individuals from banks, right, tie this in with PayPal's new terms of service, where if you say certain types of things, right, they fine you $2,500, and I'm sure they'll also deplatform you as well, right, like they've done to certain political people in the past, right? So what type of world do we want to live in the future? Right. And I think it's a very important question to ask. It's a very obvious question. And both worlds have pros and cons. I just believe that the open monetary world, this world where individuals are allowed to speak freely and it's the free market of ideas that gets to decide what ideas are good, what ideas are bad. I prefer that world. Right. The world that they want to live in is, hey, look, we at the government, the all-knowing, are, you know, we'll know what's best for you guys. And I think that's very dangerous. And I think that's led to catastrophic consequences that have been shown over the last couple years, right? And it's very troubling that the CEO of one of the most powerful, crypto exchanges, he doesn't even have an answer. He doesn't even have a justification for it. Because it's pure hypocrisy. It's like email. No, it's freedom of speech. It's like, the payments, and it's like the difference is that governments and the people in charge, the elites, get a tremendous amount of power from being the monopoly in the creation of money, and also from being able to control the money flows in the first place, right? So that's why it's different. But in terms of the freedom of speech argument, it's exactly the same. It just happens to be something that is about power. And that's what this is about. And this very troubling language from Sam. I don't know if he'll wake up. I think he's bought and paid for at this point. Anyways, Andy, what are your thoughts, bro?
Yeah, I mean, you look at Sam and I think, what was it, a month or two ago that he's like going to put $1 billion into political campaigns of folks who want to expand government, who want to expand government overreach of, you know, I know healthcare, that's my first language, but healthcare overreach of monetary supply, like this is his gig and it's not linear logic. You know, it seems like there's spaghetti logic here going on, which you just so clearly pointed out.
Yeah. Absolutely. Opti, what are your thoughts on this, bro?
Well, first of all, as someone that likes to look at body language, it is very telling his body language that he's completely stumped here and that he's trying to find, a way to make this sound good when he knows he got cornered. And secondly, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. This is always about control. And it really shows his incentives are all messed up and that he and his friends are trying to get their grubby fingers between you and your Bitcoin. So would not be using FTX. And furthermore, like Andy pointed out, we know where his incentives lie and we can very obviously see that he and his crony friends are doing, in my opinion, obviously this is my opinion, some nefarious things in the space, and they're trying to recreate the fiat system on the blockchain. And again, it's always been about control, and it will always be about control. And FBF getting stumped in this video is absolutely hilarious. I really love the man. I'm blanking on the music at the end, but it's Larry David. Yeah, the Larry David music. It's just perfect, man. And furthermore, I think we need to reiterate that Bitcoin is just a messaging communication protocol. It is literally just sending data. And so there is no difference between Bitcoin as a value payment protocol and email protocol. It's literally just sending data. So obviously his bias is exposed. As Nico always says, Bitcoin exposes people's true incentives. And hey, man, you know, asking the hard questions and not getting the right answers from SBF is very telling about what is going on over there at FTX. And furthermore, don't use FTX, guys. And if you do, take your Bitcoin into self-custody because, hey, I would not be using that platform.
I wonder how many accounts on FTX have just Bitcoin in it. Right? Like there can't be many of those, can there? And if there are, those people need to get off of FTX. Like they clearly are not into your best interests. So I'll echo that. Like get the hell off of FTX. You're supporting this nonsense.
Yeah, 100%. Guy Swan had this amazing tweet and it's always stuck in my mind is that shitcoiners don't mind stabbing Bitcoin in the back if it means getting their Lambos, right? And it's like the old systems of power don't change as long as I'm the one that's in power. I don't want to effectuate change. It's like, it's okay. We can continue this system of censorship and control, capital controls and all that. Now that I'm the one in the driver's seat, it's all good, right? And that kind of coincides with, or that kind of syncs with what you're saying about his certain political donations to certain, you know, political candidates that want certain things, right? Mm-hmm. So anyways, very interesting how that works out. But Opti, let's talk about some healthcare. Bitcoin and healthcare during the culture. Let's do this.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
All right, guys, before we get into the culture, I just want to give a shout out to Pacific Bitcoin. It's in 7 days and 21 hours, 29 minutes and 5 seconds. You have to get your tickets now. You can take advantage of the promo code all caps simply to get a major discount. Speaker list includes Michael Saylor, Lynn Alden, Corey Clipston, Jeff Broove, Breedlove, Guy Swan, Mark Moss, Nico, and Opti are going to be doing a live Simply Bitcoin from the Pacific Bitcoin Swan Dome. You're not going to want to miss this Bitcoin celebration. You can take advantage of the promo code, like I said, all caps, Simply, to get a major discount to your Pacific Bitcoin tickets.
Perfect, guys. Well, we're mixing this up a little bit. I got the culture first, and we got Andy here from Joint Crowdhouse. So, Andy, just I think let's just do a start it off with what exactly is Joint Crowdhouse? And as you guys can see on the YouTube show, we have jointcrowdhouse.com here. So let the people out there that aren't familiar with what you're doing, what exactly is your company?
Yeah, man. You know, I hate health insurance. I'm assuming there's lots of listeners out there that hate health insurance as well. You know, I think health insurance is just an extension of fiat. And so we wanted to do something different. Like, how do we create healthcare freedom as opposed to being, you know, controlled by health insurance plans that can tell our doctor what they can do, what they can't do. They can pay some things, they can not pay other things. And so what we set out to do is create a set of tools so that people can pay for their healthcare expenses without having health insurance. So outside of the health insurance system, you know, our little saying is opt out of health insurance. And mechanically, the way that this works is, you know, instead of sending money, your premiums every month to a health insurance company, we open an account for you. You put $175 in an account. We take $30 of that. And then the remaining $145 accumulates over time. And that money then can be used to help other people in the community. So if I, you know, broke my arm and it's $5,000, I would go to the community and say, hey, will 50 people take $100 from that account that they've set up and send it to me so that I can then pay for that bill directly. So it's more of a peer-to-peer sharing platform than it is a health insurance company. We've had 1,200 bills thus far, and we've crowdfunded every single one of them. So it's a super effective way of doing this. In addition to that, we're getting about 50% better prices. Our members are getting 50% better prices than what health insurance plans are paying. So we actually think as individuals, we have better power, more power to negotiate with these big hospital systems than United Healthcare, which is the sixth or seventh largest, you know, company on the planet in terms of revenue. So it's all about taking your healthcare freedom back and ridding yourselves of health insurance plans.
And this is all about, you know, and this is all about what this revolution is about, right? This revolution is about personal responsibility, whether it's individuals taking back their financial sovereignty via Bitcoin. There's individuals taking back their food sovereignty through the Beef Initiative, whether it's individuals taking back their healthcare sovereignty through CrowdHealth. So, Andy, I know that you guys sponsor a lot of Bitcoin podcasts. Where does Bitcoin fit into all this? And just by what you started with, I heard a lot of Bitcoin ethos in there.
I'm a Bitcoin fan. I was orange pilled by Jimmy Song. I'm sure most of you know Jimmy. I'm a friend of his. And so, you know, what happens here when you send your in the fiat system, if you send your money to a health insurance company, they hold it in this big account of melting fiat, right? They invest that money. They get the benefit of that investment, not you. And so we thought, you know, instead of holding all this money in a big pot of fiat, why don't we decentralize this and allow people to hold their money in Bitcoin as opposed to fiat? And so then all the upside of that Bitcoin is actually our members. It's you get the upside of that. So we're at 20,000 today. If Bitcoin goes to 100,000 and you have, you know, thousands of dollars of Bitcoin in your account, and, you know, so it appreciates 5x, you get all of that upside. So you're stacking sats while also, you know, allowing you and your family to pay for healthcare more effectively. So instead of holding in, you know, in fiat, we allow people to hold that in Bitcoin and get the upside.
Yeah. So what are the downsides to the system? Because there's always pros and cons to everything. What are the pros and what are the cons to CrowdHealth?
Yeah. You know, so you can look at this two different ways, right? Like, I think a pro is it forces us to have a little bit more of a low time preference approach to life. You know, the way that we have health insurance right now is we have this little card, we give it to the doctor, and we don't have to worry about it until a bill comes in the mail, right? And so it's easy now, but for longer term pain, because 20% of the time that bill comes in the mail, it's because your health plan has actually said no to your claim, has declined to pay for your claim. So, you know, the idea of this company came to me because I had an $8,000 bill for my daughter, and she had a hole in her eardrum, and so 15-minute procedure, $8,000, and the health insurance company said, I'm not paying for it because it's medically unnecessary. I'm like, dude, she's got a hole in her eardrum and that's medically unnecessary. So I had to write an $8,000 check to the local hospital, right? And so, you know, what we force people to do is do a little bit of more work up front, right? And so, you know, if you have a big, expensive procedure, we ask that you call us. We'll negotiate that rate for you. We're typically getting 60 or 70% better rates on those pre-scheduled things. And so it takes a little bit more from you, but it saves you a hell of a lot of money because we're, you know, 50% less than going to healthcare.gov, and you don't have a health insurance plan and the government getting in your healthcare business. So it's a bit more of a low time preference approach to healthcare. If you want a high time preference approach, go to somewhere else, because we just don't think that's the right way to do this.
Absolutely. Opti?
Perfect segue, because I got this tweet that I found on your Twitter, and it says, if you don't trust the government with your money, then why trust them with your healthcare? And I think you just touched on this, but maybe you want to elaborate a little more on this for the people that are still on the fence.
Sure. You know, the one thing that so we're in November, we're starting open enrollment here, and open enrollment, for those who don't know, is like the vast majority of people in our country are deciding on their health insurance over the next couple of months for next year. And so you could go to healthcare.gov, which is an Obamacare initiated thing from, you know, 10 or 12 years ago. So, you know, you're going into Obamacare and you're saying, hey, I'm going to sign up for one of these plans that has been regulated by the government to do certain things with my health, right? And so it's like, man, like, don't prop up, you know, this Obamacare system, and instead opt out of that and take, you know, personal responsibility for your health, as opposed to an insurance plan, which is, you know, right in bed with the United States government. So that's why I said, hey, don't, if you don't trust your money, you know, with the government, if you don't trust the government with your money, which I don't, then why are you trusting your healthcare? I don't. I trust me and my doctor to make the decisions on my healthcare, and not the government and the big health insurance companies.
So I'm gonna play devil's advocate on that a little bit.
Love it.
Right?
Yeah.
The devil's advocate would say, but Obamacare, you know, provides these very cheap premiums. Of course, there's a cost to that. The cost is the premiums for everybody else just went through the freaking roof, if you haven't been paying attention.
Yeah.
But the advocates would say, look, it gave and insured all these people that normally they would not be able to afford it. So what would be your response to that?
Yeah, ours is affordable. I mean, it's $175 a month if you're, you know, under 55. Like, it's super affordable. You know, that's how much you pay for your, you know, your cell phone coverage every day or every month, you know, your cell phone coverage plus, you know, a couple coffees at Starbucks. And so it's super affordable. I think that, you know, what we want to do is offer this to, you know, to everybody, to get you know, our number one customer right now is somebody who has been uninsured because, you know, the health plans that they options out there suck. And so now they want to jump over to us. So, you know, if you go to healthcare.gov, my family of four will pay about $1,300 a month. So this is Obamacare, $1,300 a month, and it would probably be somewhere between $8,000 and $10,000 deductible, which means that I have to pay $8,000 to $10,000 plus, you know, $1,300 or $1,400 a month. So what is that? You know, let's just say that's $27,000 or $28,000 before the health insurance plan pays a dollar. That to me is not affordable. And in fact, what has happened with Obamacare is these deductibles have gone up, and we had 250,000 people who, with health insurance last year, went bankrupt due to a health event. That's not affordable, right? Like,
yeah.
People are looking at this as really affordable premiums. If, you know, $1,200 or $1,300 is affordable, but then they have a health event and they're like, holy crap, like, now I have to come up with $8,000 or $10,000 to cover that. And it's like, I say, if you don't have, you know, the deductible amount in cash in your bank, like, you don't actually have health insurance, because that's going to put you in a significant financial situation. Yeah. You don't have that with Crowd Health, right? So 250,000 families went bankrupt last year. I mean, it's absurd.
It's freaking crazy. Opti?
Amazing. Well, I added an article here. I want to talk about something else, but it's touching on what Andy said, and you retweeted this on your Twitter. So there's some homework for you guys in the description, but the tweet for those in the spaces goes, America's healthcare system has evolved into an insurance run, government dictated bureaucratic racket that works for everyone except patients and doctors. The answer isn't more government. The answer is healthcare freedom. And, you got a really good article right here that people could definitely read, but I really want to get into another topic right here. And it's on the food pyramid. I've been diving into this food pyramid as I became a Bitcoiner, and you essentially been dunking on the food pyramid all over Twitter. And I absolutely love it because it amazes me that people are still misinformed out there. And I say it all the time on this show. I say it all the time in our spaces. As Bitcoiners, what we really need to do is survive and to ensure that we are ushering these sats into the future. And I say it like I'm a broken record, like fit body, fit mind, fit soul. And I think it starts with the misunderstanding of what exactly is going on with the food pyramid. And furthermore, that like the food pyramid is a scam, guys. I mean, hey, my words, but Andy, jump in. What's your thoughts on the food pyramid?
Yeah, it's absolutely garbage. I mean, it's total garbage. You know, and I'm 43, and I remember, you know, reading about this or watching this thing in kindergarten. I remember that food pyramid being on the wall, and I look back at that, and I'm like, holy crap. Like, no wonder, you know, the United States has twice as many obese people, you know, per capita as anybody else on the planet. It's like we follow the fact that breads and pastas and, you know, Cheerios should be the base of our diet, whereas, you know, animal proteins are way up at the top. And in reality, what you should do is chop sugar off and inverse it. You know, they've got this exactly flipped the way that we should be. And it's been proven over and over and over again. It's just the problem is that people aren't willing to say, you know what, I was wrong. I was wrong about what we've taught for the last 40 or 50 years, maybe even longer than that, right? And so we've got an issue here. And, you know, unfortunately, it's penetrated our medical community too. Like our medical community is looking at this and saying, oh, well, you know, cholesterol is the primary driver of heart attacks. And so you shouldn't be having too much animal protein and all the kinds of things. And studies have come out and said, that's just not true. Like, that's just not the case. And so, you know, statins to lower your cholesterol is one of the most profitable drugs ever to exist. You know, and I actually looked at it this morning. So real quick, I got my labs a few weeks ago, and I've tweeted this on Twitter too, is my LDL cholesterol, my bad cholesterol, is through the roof. It's like 180 or something like that. It should be like 100. And so our society is telling us that, oh, you need to get on statins to lower those levels. But if you actually do research into this, 77% of the people who had heart attacks didn't have high cholesterol. And so, you know, our American College of Cardiology, cardiologists, and American Heart Association haven't come around to all these studies that actually says this is wrong. I don't know what the motive is, but I'm telling you the pharmaceutical companies making statins are making a boatload. And what are the side effects of statins? They make your brain foggy. I saw one this morning. It was like erectile dysfunction, like all these things. And I'm like, hell no, I'm not eating, you know, putting that stuff in my body. And I'm going to figure this out, you know, a different way. So there's this whole medical industrial complex is what I call it, that I think is dictating what we're doing in healthcare. And it's way more focused on selling pharma, getting, you know, these people elected to Congress and Senate, and way less on the safety, I believe, the safety of the American public and the well-being of the American public. So, you know, that's my big issue with the food pyramid, and it's making us obese, and that obesity is having a major impact on our healthcare costs, which, you know, is our number one expense in the federal budget. So it's really kind of a circular thing here, that one affects the next, which affects the next, and it affects, you know, Bitcoiners and the money supply, right? So it is a passion of mine to kind of, you know, flush this out.
Yeah, and we're gonna continue to have, you know, guests like Andy, guests like Texas Slim, because guys, at the end of the day, this is about taking back personal responsibility. Stop outsourcing that personal responsibility in aspects of your life, because if you outsource it, what you're doing is you're outsourcing it to the government. You're outsourcing to this bureaucracy that, you know, you could have given them the benefit of the doubt. You could have said, you know what, maybe this was a good idea. But the problem is that history has shown the exact opposite. They've used the outsourcing of responsibility of individuals, and they've used that to empower themselves, benefit themselves. and the benefit to individuals, right, is not that great, right? So this is all about individuals taking back their sovereignty, even if that's through food, if that's through money, if that's through health. That's what all this is about. This is a big movement, right? You can't just focus on one and not the other. That's all what it's about. Opti, could you say your line again?
Which one? Fit body, fit mind, fit soul. And just to double down before we move on, guys, it as a Bitcoiner, it becomes very obvious that once they start lying about the lies that they've perpetuated about the money, it opens up your eyes to all the other lies going on in the world. And it's a very, very intense experience to go down the rabbit hole of, wow, what is fiat money? And then what are these effects on society at large? You guys can go read the fiat standard, or you just go down these rabbit holes yourself. But we've been harping on this idea for a while. You guys need to ensure that your health is good, because if you're not thinking correctly, if you're not eating correctly, how are you going to be able to usher in these Bitcoin? Because we are in an information war and they want you weak and dumb. And so we got to make sure that we take back our health as we are taking back our money.
Amen to that. All right, guys, let's get to the news.
The Daily News.
Brought to you by BitBox 2 Bitcoin Only Edition, a hardware wallet by Shift Crypto, crypto-like cryptography. It's secure, it's open source, and it's so easy your mom can set it up. Self-custody is the revolution, and the BitBox makes it simple. Do not leave your Bitcoin on an exchange. Order a BitBox today.
All right, so this is the big news. Edward Snowden, on Bitcoin's birthday, right, he tweeted out the white paper, said 14 years ago today, yet Satoshi remains anonymous, remarkable. And of course, we have Craig Wright. That was never anonymous, you traitor scum. It's interesting. You think Satoshi would say something like that? And what did Edward Snowden do at the end of the day? What Edward Snowden did was that he leaked that the NSA and a lot of these, you know, again, goes back to the government, goes back to big government. We're using a lot of that technology, a lot of those tools to spy on American citizens without their knowledge. And that led to this upheaval in the country. And he's still in asylum in Russia, right? Because he said that. And now that goes back to the also very famous person that was asylumed in the Ecuadorian embassy, Julian Assange with WikiLeaks, right? And he was exposing secrets about the Iraq war. Now, technically, right, remember the First Amendment, guys, this is protected speech, right? Edward Snowden is kind of iffy because he was under contract with the U.S. government. He maybe perhaps signed a thing, right? But specifically Julian Assange, right, is really interesting, right? How, if you can't have that journalistic freedom to report on this stuff, it's like the example with The Intercept, right? The Intercept leaked that the Department of Homeland Security was working with social media companies to censor certain transactions. And this all goes back to the same thing. If we're not allowed to speak freely, what makes you think you'll be allowed to use a money that they can't control? And it goes back to the issue with Sam Bankman in the video that we first played you guys during Numbers, right? It's the same concept. Email's okay. You can say anything you want with email, but money, you know, somehow that has to be controlled, you know, even though we know, and the Supreme Court actually confirmed this, that money is a form of protected speech, right? And this is the big battle of our time. This is what's going to culminate, right? I don't know what it's going to culminate into, but this is the big question. People on one side want to dictate what you're allowed to say, what you're not allowed to say, and want to also dictate who you're allowed to transact with and who you're not allowed to transact with. The other people are saying the results of that system have failed us. They haven't worked. We conceded freedoms. We gave up freedoms, but we didn't benefit from giving up those freedoms in the first place. They lied and people died. Anyways, Craig Wright said, "I was never anonymous, you traitor scum." And then Edward Snowden just destroys him. That's the point, brother. Remember 2 weeks ago when the court affirmed that Hodlnot calling you a pathetic scammer, cringe, clearly mentally ill, and repeatedly a fraud was okay and ordered you to pay like $348,000? Laughing my ass off. Love this jab. Welcome to law. And I think that's something that Craig Wright has been saying for a while. And hey, while you're playing the memory game, the next time you want to tell Twitter you were never anonymous, try and keep your story straight, you miserable corn cob. Dude, you can't even commit fraud properly. Just embarrassing. And let's take a look at the screenshot. It says, Wright's note on a stark white background is all that's left of the website he made public on Monday, which was filled with images of himself looking thoughtful along with several Bitcoin-related blog posts. It reads in full, I'm sorry. I believe that I could do this. I believe that I could put the years of anonymity and hiding behind me. But as the events of this week unfolded and I prepared to publish the proof of access to the earliest keys, I broke. I do not have the courage. I cannot. And look, and I'm going to take a neutral approach, even though I know we have a lot of Bitcoiners watching this show. And I know that there's a lot of Bitcoin Cash people that also watch this, specifically when we put Craig Wright in the title. Here's the reality, okay? Craig Wright was given the offer by a judge in the United States, a judge in the UK, and a judge in Norway. All he had to do is cryptographically sign that he actually had possession of those private keys, and he still did not do that. What did it cost him? Go through this whole ordeal to prove that he's Satoshi. That when proof comes to shove, when you actually can prove that you do own addresses that are associated with Satoshi, he never did that, right? So I'm just glad that he's just getting owned once again in the public square of Twitter. This is why Twitter is so important. And he was never able to respond to Hot or Not. So is he just keeping up that facade? Like, I'm Satoshi, believe me, take my word for it. I'm glad that he lost that case, man. I'm really glad that he lost that case, because now, like I've been saying over these last couple of weeks, guys, three judges in three different jurisdictions, one in Florida in the Kleinman case, one in the UK in the Peter McCormack case, and now in Norway, have all said the same thing. Craig Wright misrepresented himself, and he lied, right? Three judges, not coming from Simply Bitcoin. That's what they said. Take it up with them. That's not what we're saying. That's what they said. We're just reporting on it. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts, bro? And then we'll move on to Andy.
Well, my thoughts is really like just wow. You know, like CSW can't even keep his fraudulent, narcissistic lies in place. And he's all over the place. Like, he just makes up lies as he goes. He's completely gone off the rails. And this isn't the only example that I've seen in this last week of him just being dunked on by the original words of Satoshi that we all know is actually Satoshi. And he's just getting caught in these traps on Twitter where he's just going bananas and just like, going completely off the rails and making stuff up. And then people use Satoshi's original words against him. And, you know, shouts out to Edward Snowden. It's just hilarious. You know, when it comes from someone like Edward Snowden, obviously it has a little more punch than when it comes from Simply Bitcoin. But on another point, I just can't wait till we put this saga behind us and we stop giving him airtime, because he's becoming a lot more irrelevant. And I'm just here to see that day when we no longer have to talk about him.
Yeah. Andy, what are your thoughts on this, bro, on this whole saga?
Well, I mean, you look at those, that string of tweets, right? And Snowden got, you know, tens of thousands of likes, I think. And I think Craig Wright got like 200 likes, which is like, you know, hell, I can get 200 likes on a tweet. Craig Wright gets 200 likes on a tweet. Yeah, I think he's just irrelevant. You know, it's like the biggest advocate of proof of work can't show proof of work. And it's pretty clear that this guy is, you know, a goofball. And so Craig, you know, sue me for calling you a goofball. But you know, it's clearly he's just ridiculous. We should forget about him and never mention his name again.
Yeah, man. It's so ridiculous. And look, the person that says he is Satoshi is also using Lawfare to silence dissenting speech, which is completely against with how Bitcoin works, what Bitcoin represents in the Bitcoin ethos, right? So I just think that's a little hypocritical as well. We know that he has a powerful war chest due to Calvin Irie, who's part of the whole, you know, thing. But hopefully, because of these three cases, specifically in the Norway case, right, that makes it very, that will make it more difficult for him to go, for him to use Lawfare to go after his political opponents. Anyways, moving on.
I kind of want him to sue me, actually. What would he, what would I have to say for him to sue me? Because that would be the best advertising I think I could ever get for Crowd Health. So Craig, if you're out there, please sue me, because I'd love to do this.
From my understanding, it becomes a little bit difficult for American citizens to be sued on the grounds of speech. We know that he's used specifically the libel laws in the United Kingdom, which have been known to be abused. Actually, they've been abused to such an extent that the Obama administration had to pass a law in the United States specifically to protect American citizens from that law. So that's my understanding of it. But of course, I'm also not a lawyer. Anyways, moving on to this, I think this is also some very big news as well. And some signal in here. I'm going to connect it also with the amazing article that Alex Gladstein wrote, because it's actually we're witnessing play in full time. We're witnessing this play out in full time. The name of the article is called "Bitcoin is a Trojan Horse for Freedom," and I think that's exactly what you're seeing here. Bitcoin's irresistible incentives, in the case of Iran and Russia, it's the censorship-resistant incentives. And of course, the number go up incentives are also irresistible. The name of the article is "New Mining Bill Permitting Cross-Border Crypto Payments Filed in Russian Parliament." A draft law designed to regulate the mining of digital coins in Russia is also legalizing the use of cryptocurrencies in international settlements. It has been submitted to the Russian parliament after the rejection of an earlier bill, which is aiming to allow domestic crypto payments as well. Now, that's a little bit of signal there. Anyways, goes on to say, Russian lawmakers will review a new legislative proposal for the legalization of crypto mining, which has seen significant growth over the past few years. I love that. More hash rate. Not in the United States. More hash rate in Iran, more hash rate in Russia, more hash rate in Venezuela. We want that. We want that judicial arbitrage. Announcing the filing of the bill on Sputnik Radio, the chairman of the Parliamentary Financial Market Committee, Antony Askovev, pointed out that the document authorizes the use of cryptocurrencies as a mean of payment. That's the signal there. Pay attention. The document authorizes the use of currencies as a means of payment outside the country. To quote Askroff, he said, "We have introduced a bill that legalizes mining, that is the issuance and circulation of cryptocurrencies, but cryptocurrencies can only be employed as a means of payment outside of our country in foreign jurisdictions," right? So it's interesting how that works. It's like, we want to benefit from Bitcoin censorship resistant, but as long as the people of Russia don't benefit directly, because then the people of Russia are going to start opting out of our fiat currency, and then that would take power away from us. It's interesting how that works. Anyways, it says sanctions pressures have increased support for the idea of permitting cross-border crypto payments, but most government institutions in Moscow remain opposed to the legalization of payments with Bitcoin and the like inside the Russian Federation. Another mining bill put forward by the Liberal New People faction was rejected as it provided for the legalization of domestic crypto payments. Now, keep all of this what I said, right? Russia, you're the bullet point. Russia legalizes Bitcoin mining incentives. Russia legalizes officially Bitcoin for cross-border payments. I suspect that's due to U.S. sanction policy. But internally, they say, no, we can't have that. Now, the reason that's not going to work, and I think Alex Gladstein explains it perfectly well in this amazing article. It's called "Bitcoin is a Trojan Horse for Freedom." I'll get to it. Let me read some of the article. It says, "The Trojan horse has been popularized in computer science as a malicious program disguised as a helpful update, but it is also an effective metaphor for how Bitcoin stealthily co-opts actors who do not care about or do not like freedom to promote it anyway. The meme begins with wealthy individuals, corporations, and soon governments." Mind you, governments are already here. This was written September 2021, right? We know El Salvador is already on the bus, which see Bitcoin as glittering gold. Out of self-preservation and greed, they are incentivized to buy mine. And that's already happened, right? You heard it in the bill. Buy mine and one day tax this new prize to accommodate the soundest money and gain an advantage over their rivals. What are you seeing there? Why are they doing this, right? Are they legalizing Bitcoin for international settlements? They're trying to gain advantage over the United States because the U.S. gets a tremendous amount of power via weaponizing the dollar. And because the dollar is the global reserve currency, that's the currency that's most used to facilitate international trade. So Russia's trying to find a way to circumvent that. Because Bitcoin does, after all, on its exterior, look very appealing. It is the best performing financial asset in the world over the last 12 years. But Bitcoin is not just number go up technology. Hidden behind the eye-popping gains is a powerful freedom go up technology that its new adopters are, knowingly or not, pushing forward. Number go up and freedom go up are inextricable. Bitcoin's decentralized digital cash did not emerge combinator, but rather was the holy grail of cyberpunks, a group of civil advocates concerned about how personal freedoms could survive the great electronic transformation of society. Their goals was to separate money from governments and corporations, check the growth of the global surveillance state, and preserve human rights in an increasingly digital age. Satoshi Nakamoto's greatest trick was to animate these aspirations into something that looks like and functions as digital gold. So while, yes, it gives anyone, regardless of their nationality, status, wealth, gender, race, or beliefs, access to the best savings technology on the planet, it also gives them unstoppable, programmable money that cannot be debased or censored and that fights surveillance and confiscation. Dissidents, democracy protesters, opposition leaders, independent journalists worldwide are beginning to realize this, from Minsk to Lagos to Los Angeles to Buenos Aires. Speak pretty words about human rights, but when they get down to brass tacks, the platted side, as a reminder of this cold reality, referred to the dictators of the UN on Human Rights Council or the Financial Action Task Force. The list of household corporate names sponsoring the 2022 Genocide Olympics, or the roster of Wall Street icons who attend Saudi Arabia's Davos in the desert. As human rights activists know well, it can be hard to effectively promote freedom in a society that willingly sells morals out for profit. Bitcoin sneaks in and rewires the system from the inside, aligning profit seeking with permissionless financial liberation. And that's the beauty of all this, right? The incentives and the benefits of Bitcoin are irresistible. So they let the Trojan horse in the gate because they want to benefit from it. But what Alex pointed out so perfectly is that you can't separate the number go up from the freedom go up. So once these governments take that pill, they're exposing their populations, their citizens, to this idea of like, wait a second. So I could save and earn and get paid in a currency that you can't control, you can't debase, you can't censor. Why exactly am I using this fiat? Why am I using this government currency? And that's the beauty of it. That's Bitcoin's incentives. And remember, we have better incentives, and what they have left is coercion. My money is on the carrot and not the stick. Opti, what are your thoughts? And then we'll move on to Andy.
I love it. Agreed. On the first point about the Russian news, It's basically Bitcoiners being right once again. You know, Bitcoin game theory is playing out in real time. But also, I think that point that you pointed out of how nefarious the parasite bureaucrat class really is they don't want their citizens to use Bitcoin, but they can use it for cross-border payments. It's just the meme, you know, rules for thee, but not for me. But to your point of Bitcoin is the Trojan horse for freedom, and we say it all the time, that Bitcoin changes you, you don't change Bitcoin. And once you hold Bitcoin, you start to ask simple questions like, why am I being forced to use a money that's designed to steal from me? And why am I not to transact freely with people when I am supposedly in a free country, when I'm not doing anything by criminal standards, I'm not breaking any laws? Why am I being coerced to use this money that is not benefiting me and my family? Like, these are very simple questions that I think we all need to be asking people, because Bitcoin fundamentally shows the flaws in the system. And as we say all the time, you know, number goes up brings freedom goes up with it, because, hey, I can only really speak for myself, but as I've learned about Bitcoin, I've become way more freedom-minded. I've become way more interested in ruling my own destiny going forward. And I think that if it can happen for me, it can happen for everyone out there, as long as they still have a brain, as long as they're still thinking critically. Bitcoin will change the world, and we're seeing it happen in real time at breakneck speeds. And again, I say it all the time, like, it's just awesome to be on the front lines and be able to cover this stuff, because, like, we have front row seats, and all you Bitcoiners out there also have front front row seats, and we're the frontline soldiers continuing to spread this signal. So we got to just continue to counter this stuff and also spread the good stories about like what Alex is saying, you know, like humans latch on to storytelling abilities. And if we can frame Bitcoin in such a way, well, people understand what we know to be true. Number goes up, brings more freedom. And then what freedom brings to society, we don't even know what those effects will be because we've never seen it. And that's just the beautiful, bright future that I think Bitcoin will usher in.
Amen to that. Andy, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably one of the newer ones to Bitcoin here. I've only been in for a couple of years now, maybe almost 3 years. But, you know, one of the things I love being about a part of this community is just the curiosity. Like people just have this curious nature about them and start questioning things that other people just take as fact. And I think it really is a return to critical thinking, which is, you know, a lost form, kind of back to Sam and the opening of the show. Like, where is the logical thinking here? It's spaghetti logic that has been widely accepted in our culture. And I love the Bitcoiners because they're actually into knowing what is truth, and actually be curious about that truth. And so I'm all bought into Alex's thing, and I was like, man, if we can get Bitcoin into Russia and actually get them using Bitcoin within the Russian economy, I think that's step number one of getting them their freedom.
100%, I agree with you, and that thing about Bitcoiners seeking truth, it makes sense, right? Because fiat is not anchored to truth; fiat is lies. But if you see the unit of account of Bitcoiners, it's anchored to the truth via proof of work, right? Bitcoin is anchored to reality. Yeah. That's what makes it unique. And I think that change, to borrow what CK always says, that change in operating system makes you seek truth in the world. It makes you think differently. It makes you, Max Kaiser has that amazing quote, you don't change Bitcoin, Bitcoin changes you, right? Mm-hmm. And if we get the world to change this operating system, and now all of a sudden they're optimistic about the future rather than nihilistic about the future, which is what I think fiat currencies do to human beings, man, I can't, that world I am so excited for. Corey Clipson calls it the bright orange future. I'm very pumped. But anyways, let's get to the meme review. Let's do it.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks. Kaboom Racks. Kaboom Racks.
I love you pulling out the S-line. That's awesome. All right, guys, you already know this is the meme review. This is your guys' favorite part of the show. And as Nico said, in an eloquent meme, guys, tweets are the bullet and memes are the artillery. And we are out here in the front lines, continue to meme, continue to get those calls of actions because we are in a misinformation war as we speak. We are getting bombarded with all kinds of noise, but Bitcoiners have truth on their side. And it pierces through all the madness, guys. So this first one is by my boy, Psychedelic El Barto. And as you guys know in the news section, Edward Snowden called CSW corn cob. Stop being a corn cob. And we got this, you know, CSW as a corn cob in the flesh.
Dude, meme, soundboard. No.
Which one?
Other sound. I love corn.
Oh yeah. Hold on. 1 second. I got you.
Corn. I love corn.
All right. This next one is by Kanato Takumi. And everyone.
I'm impressed.
I probably didn't say that right. Anyways, everyone's on Twitter. There was a back and forth yesterday between Jack Mahler's and Elon Musk, and you know Saylor's been talking about implementing Lightning Network for this Twitter blue check mark and all this stuff, and this is just a play on the idea of every Bitcoiner on Twitter is just adding Elon Musk. Let me pay in sats, and he's just like Homer Simpson sitting there at Twitter headquarters, like, oh my goodness. I need to add sats in Twitter, or at least start to take sats. This next one, shouts out to Maxi's Club. I absolutely love what you do here, bro. I love the artistry on these memes, and these are becoming some of my favorite memes because they're like comic books, and I just love comic books. And we got an FBI, I don't know what you'd call this, a gremlin type dinosaur thing, and he goes, some people have Bitcoin, and then we have, obviously, I'm pretty sure this is a fiat money changer, and he goes, we can freeze their hardware wallets, right? And the FBI officer just starts sweating and he's all nervous, and then he gets angry and he goes, right? It's I'm pretty sure there's a play on the Star Wars meme, like, you can freeze the hardware while it's right. Nah, son. Anyways, this next one's by our friend Mr. Robot, aka the Bitcoin Doctor. And I don't know if you guys woke up on Twitter and saw all the crazy news, but exchanges still are getting hacked. People are still putting too much money and leaving money on these exchanges, and they are getting wrecked. Anyways, this is a play on Back to the Future. And he goes, hello, McFly. Get your keys off the exchange and gives them a noogie. Guys, do not hold more Bitcoin than you're willing to lose on an exchange. The revolution is self-custody, guys. You need to own Bitcoin in private keys that you secure so no one can steal your wealth. This is how we defund the madness. Anyways, we dropped this article yesterday. Memes are the message by our boy Weineke. It's the perfect message, a hard truth with a pinch of humor, the most concise form of explaining a thought. And then Ray dropped this hilarious SpongeBob play. And he goes, want to know what's funnier than 21 million? The number of fiat dollars printed. Oh my goodness, that deserves some horns. And they're all laughing with Bitcoin in self-custody. And this last one, memeing Bitcoin. I was planning on putting this on Bitcoin White Paper Day, but it got lost in the sauce. And again, another play on Fast to the Future, and it's the bass player or the rock and roll scene where he shreds the guitar, but the guitar is the Bitcoin white paper, and we got Dorian Nakamoto, a.k.a. the face we all use for Satoshi. And he goes, I guess you guys just aren't ready for that yet, but your kids are gonna love it. Yes, Bitcoin is for the children, and we will continue to spread this signal as far and wide as possible.
Do you think Satoshi picked that name because he knew that's what the guy looked like?
I don't know, but hey, I mean, it's a perfect meme. He is the perfect meme. The Satoshi Dorian Nakamoto face is a classic meme that I think we'll be using forever. Obviously, be using forever.
All right. So before we get to the meme review, guys, this is Simply Bitcoin Live. Drop your scores in the live chat. Make Opti and I feel uncomfortable, and we will read your scores. Cue the epic music. Opti, wait, we have to explain to our guests. Andy, the way the meme review score works, right, is that you give it a score. It could be anything. It could be an object, a feeling, a color. Doesn't matter. Anyways, Opti,
all right.
Cue the epic music. You're up, bro.
Today's score, you guys saw me wear it yesterday, but it's this vintage NRA Life member hat that I got at the antique store. Lit hat, guys. You already know.
All right, Andy, what is your score?
Man, I don't know. Is this okay? Is my key my score? Like,
oh,
hold them on
to
the storage. Okay. Like, score.
A white treasure. Okay, all right. Nico's going to give it.
Oh.
A Kaboom Rax S9.
Let's go. Why isn't it plugged in, Nico? Why isn't it plugged in?
I know. Okay.
Anything you do, we're going to dunk on you. Why isn't your miner plugged in? It's awesome.
I know. Okay. Rave Elevator. He gives the memes one pineapple under the sea. Oh. Okay. Guardian Healer. I give those memes a signed message and a Bitcoin transaction, you know, just to prove I own the keys. Very nice. I like that.
Mars.
Igor, I give those memes an empty zero fee routing channel. Mm. Very nice. Very well thought out. I give the memes the presents I have for Nico and Opti at the Pacific Bitcoin Conference. Ooh, I'm very excited.
Let's go.
I'm very excited for that. Brandon, I give those memes an automatic center punch. Very nice. Tyler Durden, swallowed the red pill. I score these memes a beefsteak. Very nice, bro. Very nice. Z Logic, I give those memes a snowed in Snowden. Winter is coming. Okay.
Yikes.
We are running out of time. I give these memes. MP Matt Hancock going on. I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here to eat bugs for his WEF masters. All right. We are out of time. All right, guys. Also, check out the written version of Simply Bitcoin. You got to go to Simply Bitcoin Unfiltered, www.simplybitcoin.news. Check out our awesome writers, Rustin, Zach, Winekiss, Paul, dropping the sauce. Also, join Simply Bitcoin's Telegram group. It's absolutely free. Go to www.t.me/thesimplybitcoin channel. Absolutely no shitcoining in there. That's like our policy. It's all Bitcoiners dropping the sauce, dropping hilarious memes, getting into some interesting conversations. You definitely don't want to miss it. Anyways, Opti, do we have software?
Yes, sir. Software.
Software. All right, let's do it.
Bitcoin software release.
Brought to you by CipherSafe. Don't be that person that loses their Bitcoin seed due to fire damage, water damage, dog attacks. Back up your generational Bitcoin wealth on Steel, and there's no better place to do it than the Cypher Grid by CipherSafe. And now check out their new Bitcoin art, the Bitcoin Rulux Triangle, only on CipherSafe.io.
All right, guys, so today's software release. Shouts out to Darth Coin in the Telegram group. He hit me to this morning. We got Blixit Wallet version 0.6.0, and they released the Mac OS version. So it's one of the few Lightning wallets for your desktop, guys. Definitely go check it out. It's on Windows and Linux as well, but now you guys got a Mac. I know you guys probably aren't using Mac, but there's a few of us out here that are still using MacBooks out here. So now we got a Bitcoin Lightning wallet for MacBook desktop. And of course, we are on Anchor. We are on Spotify. We are on Apple. And if you are a part of the Value for Value economy, we are on Fountain. And we do have a few comments from yesterday. We got Muffin King. He goes, Simply Bitcoin rules on our Google accepts Bitcoin for payments. Episode 610 gave us a 95 sat boost. And then yesterday, everyone loved it, man. We got a 238 sats and BTC Totoro. I probably butchered that. Goes, Phil's back. That was awesome. Go check it back, man. We had an awesome episode yesterday. It was a fun time. Good to bring my parents back together. But thanks, guys. It's Wednesday. We will continue to give you guys all the sauce.
Oh, the sauce. Speaking of sauce, guys, check out representltd.com. They make some of the comfiest merch ever. It's stylish. It's comfy. Opti's showing off the standard. I always wear the camo hoodie because I like it. They're making Bitcoin merch. They're making Simply Bitcoin merch. You can take advantage of the promo code simply-bitcoin on representltd.com to get a 10% discount. I also want to give a very special shout out to our awesome guest, Andy. Thank you so much for joining us today. Where can people find you? Where can people find out more about Join Crowd Health?
Yeah, go to joincrowdhealth.com. Use promo code Bitcoin. You'll get $99 for the first 6 months. You can't beat that. And then Join Crowd Health on Twitter, where we're pretty active, pretty sassy. So come follow with us.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today on Simply Bitcoin, Andy. I appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys, that was another episode of Simply Bitcoin. If you enjoyed it, it really helps us if you smash that like button. Consider subscribing if you think we provided you value. And of course, the number one thing you could do to help the show and push the Bitcoin revolution forward is share this video. In fact, share all Bitcoin content. Get it out there. Wake up the NPCs. Take back your financial sovereignty, your health sovereignty, and your food sovereignty. That's what we're going to try to help you guys to do. We love you all, and we will see you tomorrow for another episode of Simply Bitcoin.
Which one's the best crypto asset? Well, Bitcoin's the best crypto asset. Okay. What's the second best? There is no second best.